Back at it, you and I chatting it up Thursday style, the 8th of May, May 8th, 2025, right here on Connecticut Today. We welcome back Sacred Heart University Associate Professor of Catholic Studies, Dr. Dan Rober, on the election of Pope Leo XIV, the first ever American pontiff. While I also had my own thoughts on the new pope, looking ahead, Republican State Rep Greg Howard, who's also a working law enforcement officer, returned to the show as well to update us on a pending bill that would allow the possible destruction of ATVs, minibikes, and dirt bikes seized in those so-called street takeovers. All right, you've heard from me, you've heard from some callers, you heard from some text messages, emails, answers to Facebook questions regarding the new pontiff, Pope Leo XIV. Let's get a little academic expertise on this. Return visit today from Sacred Heart University Associate Professor of Catholic Studies, Dr. Dan Rober, on the election of the new pope. Dr. Rober, it's Paul here again on WICC. How are you?
Good. I'm doing great. Great to be back with you, Paul.
Did this surprise you like a ton of bricks? I mean, I was prepping here in the studio and I saw the alerts come over and I said, wait, American pope? How surprised were you, Dan, about this?
So it's funny you should ask that, because one of my colleagues forwarded me, I had done an interview for Newsweek the other day talking about the conclave starting, and I had forgotten I had even mentioned this, but I had actually floated Privas' name as somebody who was kind of in the running as maybe more of a bit of a dark horse. I would say basically, through last week and through the reporting I was reading, He would have been in my kind of top 10 candidates, but not necessarily in my top four, so to speak. So it was surprising that he was elected on the fourth ballot. Not as surprising that he was elected at all. I thought if he was going to be elected, it probably would have come tomorrow.
Interesting. So you're telling me you're a bit of a papal savant, Dan? Is that what you're telling me here?
I've tried to kind of keep my ear to the ground of the good reporting from the people who really are kind of insider reporters who talk to cardinals and are in Rome getting good information about things. And it was clear that Privas' name was out there and that he was seen as an alternative. So one of the favorites going in, Cardinal Parolin, also had a lot of negatives around his candidacy, partially because he'd been Secretary of State. You kind of get a lot of water under the bridge, a lot of enemies that way. whereas Cardinal Privas had a little more of a clean slate with a lot of people and was well-regarded as a diplomat and as an administrator.
There were a couple of other, Dr. Rober, there were a couple of other popes that I seem to be mentioned all the time. Cardinals, the one from the Philippines, I believe, and then one from Africa, right? Where they were in the top lists of all this too, as well, right?
Well, so going into the conclave, the two kind of front runners were Cardinal Parolin, the Secretary of State, and Cardinal Tagle, who is from the Philippines. He's been Archbishop of Manila. He's also done a number of other kind of major jobs for the church in terms of running organizations and everything. Those are kind of the two big names. There were some different people who were brought up. Cardinal Turkson from Africa was brought up. I'm not sure how much of a serious candidate he was this time. He was a bit more of a floated candidate in the last conclave 12 years ago. There were a few other names. There was a Frenchman, Cardinal Aveline. There was another Italian, Cardinal Zuppi. But Cardinal Privas was a favorite of the Pope's ambassador to the U.S., Cardinal Christophe Pierre. As well as a Honduran cardinal who's close to Pope Francis, who's over 80, Cardinal Oscar Rodriguez Maradiaga. So he had support from some well-placed people, but again, he was a bit of a dark horse going in. So I think him emerging on the fourth ballot, a lot of us, when we saw the white smoke coming on the fourth ballot, which is a little earlier than we expected, thought it must be one of the favorites, because usually when they end by, four or five ballots, or three or four ballots, it's it must be one of the people that were obvious going in. So this says that obviously he got some good traction on the first couple of ballots and support consolidated quickly.
Dr. Dan Rober is the guest. He is the associate professor of Associate Professor of Catholic Studies at Sacred Heart University. So, Dr. Rober, he became, what, a cardinal in, did I read or hear correctly, 2023. So he was relatively new to the College of Cardinals. So was the previous pontiff, was Pope Francis here, did he have his eye on this guy saying, this guy may be, you know, one of my top guys?
He had put Privas in a top job mm-hmm. in terms of naming bishops.
Yeah.
Right, which of course is very important. So he had given him a big role. Francis tended to choose cardinals, partially because he liked them, not just, you know, especially people in the Vatican, right? You know, as people that he liked, not just people who had a certain job.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly he would have been somebody that, he had experience in Latin America, right, which is how he'd come to the attention of Cardinal Rodriguez Maradiaga, who I just mentioned.
Mm.
In Peru, and where he had worked. I mean, he's also a religious, like Pope Francis. So he was not a diocesan priest. He was a member of the Augustinian order, mm-hmm. right? You may have heard that he went to Villanova University.
Yeah.
Right? So he's a religious, not a diocesan priest, which I think Francis would have also appreciated.
So explain that, Dan, the Augustinian order, and I heard references to, you know, Villanova earlier in the day today. So for a lot of folks who may not be familiar with that, talk about that a little bit.
Sure. So the Augustinians are almost a cross between like monks and friars.
Huh.
Right. So they live a monastic style life. They've been around a long time. So there has been one Augustinian pope before who was almost 1,000 years ago.
Wow.
So it gives you a sense of some of the scope there, right? So Pope Francis has been the first Jesuit pope, but the Jesuits have only existed for, you know, around 500 years, whereas the Augustinians go back a much longer time. And they're rooted in the spirituality of St. Augustine of Hippo, mm-hmm. one of the most important theologians and thinkers in the history of the church. So, again, they take vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience, right? They don't have a lot of property. They have all their property in common, right? So it's a different culture than the diocesan priesthood, which, you know, your average kind of parish priest would be from. And they tend to work in things like education. And again, they have a storied history. Martin Luther actually was an Augustinian. A lot of complex history for the Augustinian order.
Also, with the way you mentioned they just live and conduct themselves, Dr. Rober, that's one thing. But what about how they interpret or look at the actual workings of the Catholic Church, the interpretations of Scripture, things like that? Mm-hmm. Vastly different than the regular diocesan priests or the Jesuits or not?
I would say, you know, with a lot of these things, it depends sort of on the person. It's more... The differences are not really ideological. They're in terms of just kind of the culture of, and the formation out of which they come, right? The way they become a priest is in community with others, right? Mm-hmm. They're kind of less dispersed. And you see with Cardinal Privas, right, that he was high up in the Augustinian order, right? He was a missionary, lived different places around the world.
Yeah.
Right. So it's less focused on kind of local service to the local parishes and everything, and more focused in this case on kind of going out there to the world, bringing the gospel to the world.
Finally, Dan, do you think that we might see any major initiatives here from the new pope once he settles in? From Pope Leo XIV, because of his background, because of his relatively young age, who knows what the conversations were between him and Pope Francis in his later days. Anything you think that we're going to see in short or long term that will be part of, you know, what every pope tries to do, leave a mark on the papacy and the church or not?
So I think the two things you're going to see him continue Pope Francis's emphasis on synodality, which is like conversations in the church, right? In other words, getting people talking to one another mm-hmm. about what the future of the church should be. He has been somebody who's been involved in that. I think you will see that continue. And he's going to be a softer spoken guy than Francis in a lot of ways, right? Francis was a pope of statements and gestures. This will be a bit softer spoken. But I think what you'll also see, and I think one of the reasons he was elected, right, is he will be somebody who will be standing up for kind of Catholic social justice teachings. Mm-hmm. He took the name Leo, I think partially in honor of Pope Leo the 13th, Pope in the late 19th century, who really contributed to Catholic social teaching, standing up for the rights of workers, for the rights of immigrants, things like that. I think you will see Pope Leo taking stands on those kinds of things, and perhaps, potentially getting into some controversies here in the United States on that front. And I don't think any of that is coincidental in terms of why he was elected.
Yeah, I mentioned that, Dan, earlier. Now in the news cycle, I guess within the last couple of hours, and you've probably seen this already, some previous social media posts are already popping up, specifically dealing with immigration and stuff like that.
Yep.
So, yeah, in situations like this, Dan, I'm not a big believer in coincidences. I'm just not. It's too. Listen, everybody has a plan, and that's just the way it is, right?
Well, yes, and the College of Cardinals is typically looking at the world situation and thinking about what is needed right now. So you think about John Paul II, who was elected in 1978. It was clear that Soviet communism and the Iron Curtain were something that the Cardinals wanted to deal with. Well, I think choosing an American, and this particular American who's not of the American church, right? He's somebody who's spent most of his adult life outside the United States.
Yeah.
But was raised here and certainly understands this country better than any other pope who's ever lived. That you can think that, the situation in the United States on the world stage right now is something that the Cardinals want to have a pope who is attentive to and understand, knowledgeable about.
Great stuff. Once again, great thanks, Dr. Dan Rober, Associate Professor of Catholic Studies, right down the road at Sacred Heart University. Dr. Rober, thanks, and I'm sure we'll be talking in the days to come. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much.
Appreciate it, Dr. Dan Rober there, yeah?
Well, a little bit of world history today, huh? Something a lot of folks thought we would never, ever see, at least see in our lifetimes.
La pace sia con tutti voi.
And there you go. That is Cardinal Robert Francis Prevost from the U.S. He is the new pope. He takes the name, the papal name, Pope Leo the 14th. Yes, there were 13 previous Pope Leo. So he takes Leo the 14th. And boy, this was a stunner. And again, there are a lot of people who said this would never, ever happen simply because of the position of the U.S. in world politics, being a non-European country, a country like the U.S. that's got many, many more denominations of religious dogma and religious faiths than the heart of the Catholic world has. But no. So again, Cardinal Robert Francis Prevost from the U.S. is the new pope. He takes the name Pope Leo the 14th. He was born in Chicago, spent the early part of his career there working for the Augustinians. He served in Peru, says here, 1985 to 86, and from 88 to 98. As a parish pastor, a diocesan official, a seminary teacher, and an administrator. He became a cardinal relatively recently in 2023, serving as the prefect of the Dicastery for Bishops and president of the Political Commission for Latin America since 2023. He served as the Bishop of Chicago in Peru, 2015 to 2023. His resume continues, General of the Order of St. Augustine, 2001 to 2013. And then in 2023, about 2 years ago, the late Pontiff Pope Francis appointed him as the Prefect of the Dicastery for Bishops. And that apparently, if you look at the Vatican tree, is a big, big, big deal. Bigger things to go on for that guy. So what are your thoughts on this? 203-333-9422. Look, I'm thrilled. Now, look, I haven't been to,
I'm not a regular churchgoer. I pray a lot. I go to weddings. I go to funerals. You know, special events in the church. Here's the problem with me. I'm just lazy. Not that I'm not near a church, but having said that, you know, I pay attention to what's going on in the Catholic Church because this is something you cannot forget. You may be a lapsed Catholic. You may be an agnostic. You may be an atheist. You may be a Catholic on your own terms. You may be what they're called, what they call cafeteria Catholics. I'll take a little scoop of that, or we'll take a big scoop of the no abortion thing. We'll take a wee tiny scoop of sharing your riches, whatever. Cafeteria Catholics, you know what that means. You pick and choose left and right. You get in the line. But do you pay attention to what the Pope says? Because, and I've said this for years and years, especially to people I've ever worked with, say, what do we cover the Pope for? Who cares? No, 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 no. Who cares doesn't work here. This guy, or whomever is the Pope presently, the new Pope, as the previous Pope, and the Pope before him, and before him, and before him, the Catholic Church has 1.4 billion people on the face of the earth. How many people are on the earth? 8 billion, 9, 7, whatever. It's a best guess. Nobody really knows. There are best guesses what the world population is. But the any pope of the Catholic Church has an amazing sway on people, whether you have Catholics or even some Christians, but Roman Catholics basically, who hang on every word the Pope says, or you have people that say, nah, well, you know, yeah, oh yeah, that guy's the Pope, yeah, oh, he said that, that's interesting. Or you go the other end of the spectrum and say, I don't care, I don't give a damn who the Pope is, not my cup of tea. In fact, it's a religious position, a religious title should have no say in world affairs, in wars, in immigration, especially with the economy. Okay, you can say that, but you cannot deny the fact that the position, maybe not the individual Pope, I'm sure most of them would be, have some bit of humility to say it's not about me, and it's not. But you're talking about somebody who, unlike Judaism, for example, who the structure, there's a council of rabbis, from what I understand. There's no one preeminent position. Unlike Islam, where there's no real singular person in a preeminent position. Now, you could say Buddhism and the Dalai Lama, that in and of itself is a singular position there. But the Pope has incredible power, if not by armies, if not by wars, if not by dictates of encyclicals coming out of the Vatican. But, you know, they're a great deal or a big chunk of the 1.4 billion Catholics, professed or otherwise, practicing or otherwise, who, you know, kind of pay attention to this guy, whomever it might be. So I start off with this today, and it's a simple question. Number one, what are your thoughts on this? And I did put up a Facebook question, facebook.com/voiceofct. Once again, facebook.com/voiceofct. Pretty simple, straightforward. What are your thoughts on the new Pope, Pope Leo XIV, the first ever American Pope? Now, for example, should he be in the same mold as Pope Francis or not? What do you think of this guy? And two, now it's hard to know what you would think of the guy. It's been 20 minutes, Paul. I get it. I understand it. But also, number two, do you really care what any Pope thinks? And I'm not trying to put this out there to be nasty or, you know, edgy here, but seriously, if the Pope says, hey, you shouldn't do something, do you then say, well, I'm not going to do it because the Pope told me not to? Or do you say, well, that's interesting, but I don't really kind of agree with him on that? Or if the Pope tells you to do something or not to do something, do you say, get out of here, go play with your cardinals here? Seriously, especially Catholics. Anybody else can chime in, obviously. Equal opportunity here. Voice or text at 203-333-9422. 333-WICC. Are you excited? Meh, you don't care about the new Pope. And do you, maybe as a Catholic, do you pay attention really to what any Pope tells you to do or not? So we have an American Pope. Who'd have thought that would happen? Now, will the fact that we have an American Pope, will this in any way, shape, or form affect the ratio of second collections on Sunday? I'm kidding. It's a joke. Relax. Pope Leo the 14th, previously, before he became the big boss, before he became big boss a few hours ago, Cardinal Robert Francis Prevost. By the way, he was born in 1955. So he is 69. He's going to be 70. And his birthday is September 14th. So this September 14th, he is going to be 70 years old. It's pretty young for a pope when you think about it. I think the youngest contender was the gentleman, the cardinal from the Philippines, who came in at 67 or 66. So what are your thoughts on this? 203-333-9422. I'll tell you why I think this is significant. Other than the fact of it having been the first American pope, I think this was done. And in fact, a couple of people have already messaged me on social media asking me about this angle. And I think there's something there. This angle being, well, this. We're in a position now where the U.S. is constantly being criticized about economic policy, the haves and the have-nots, border policy. Of course, the late Pope Francis made no bones about the fact that he was not a fan of the Trump border policy, did not think there should be any needless enforcement at the border. And again, frankly, there were a lot of Catholics I spoke to that weren't happy with that. You know, they perceive a lot of the more, shall we say, non-rigid branches of Catholicism or Catholics to be a little too hard when it comes to immigration and all that. So I think this is important. I think this is why they did that. To get a cardinal in there, an American-born guy, grew up, I guess, in the Midwest. In fact, he's from Chicago, I think. Yeah, he's born in Chicago. So there's a guy from the heartland there who obviously, before he began his later years after being ordained and went out around the world, you know, the guy was brought up in America. So obviously, it's going to be a little different now, don't you think? To have somebody who was sitting at the pinnacle of the Catholic Church looking down and administering to a flock, as they would like to say, of 1.4 billion people, kind of understanding what the American mindset is or not. You agree with me on that or not? I think it's actually a good thing. Other than the fact that the box gets checked off, hey, we finally have an American pope. But, you know, no matter what a cardinal from Central America would say, or Argentina or Chile or somebody from Italy or Spain or France or Germany, like the late Pope Benedict, to me, they probably said, look, you can't understand America unless you're American. And I believe that. So in that way, I think this is not only important, I think this was quite purposely or purposefully done. I'm not saying there was any big, you know, conspiracy here to go against Trump. No, not at all. But we are in precarious times here, so the fact that you have a cardinal who, I would guess, after spending his early years after being born and raised in Chicago, probably to understand the American psyche, not a bad idea, don't you think? Or are you one of those old Italian lady traditionalists who's currently in the cardiac unit at St. Vincent's? Because, oh, Manon, East American, no! Come on, you Italians out there, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Your grandmother would have passed out. Come on, Noni or Nona or Nana, they would have freaking keeled over here. And I'm heading on. Oh, Manon. Come on. 203-333-9422. 333-WICC. Already getting some very interesting responses
to our Facebook question of the day, facebook.com/voiceofct. What are your thoughts about Pope Leo XIV, the first ever American pope? Should he continue the policies of the late Pope Francis? Now you're probably thinking, well, you know, Francis seemed like a nice guy, but he was a little too liberal on the poor thing and a little too liberal on the water thing. Just asking. All right, let's shift gears a little bit now. You all know that a couple of weeks ago we had that street takeover in Ansonia. In fact, the dummies were so dumb and still dumb, they put up, hey, why not put up a video on social media to make it easier for the cops to find people? And we also had a street takeover in Fairfield a few days ago. So what's happening here? Well, I tell you what is happening. At least one chamber in Hartford just, I believe, this week on a 35-1 vote passed a measure that would allow cities and towns and municipalities to confiscate and perhaps destroy dirt bikes, ATVs, mini bikes that are confiscated in these takeovers. Now it's got to go to the House. And one of those gentlemen in the House who will be voting on this is State Rep Greg Howard, 43rd General Assembly District, Ledyard, North Stonington, and Stonington. And besides being a legislator, I mention this all the time, Greg is also an acting, rather a professional law enforcement officer as well. Hey, Greg, it's Paul. How are you, sir?
Very well, sir. Good afternoon. Thanks for having me. How are you?
Good, Greg. Good to have you back. And I guess one hurdle now has been cleared about this bill that some people, and I'm imagining you would agree with this too, being active law enforcement, people say this bill is needed to try and send a message on these street takeovers. So, Greg, talk about this bill and why is this important?
All right. Thank you. And yeah, absolutely. This bill came out of the Judiciary Committee. It passed the Senate, as you said, yesterday. And the House is likely to take it up here in the coming days. A couple of things. One, there's two types of street takeovers that are going on in the state that are real problematic. And they're problematic not only for the participants, but the observers, the onlookers, which in effect are sort of participants to a degree themselves. Mm-hmm. Certainly law enforcement responding and innocent folks around in these neighborhoods, in these communities. It creates a risk to them, not only their safety, but you know the well-being and the living conditions that they live. Mm-hmm. So, one of the things that the bill does, we sort of address the issue with the all-terrain, the two types. There's the all-terrain vehicle street takeovers, and one with regular passenger vehicles, like we all drive back and forth to work, for example. We dealt with the all-terrain vehicle issue already, but what's one of the things that's happening is the law that we passed a couple of years ago allowed the municipality to seize any vehicles, all-terrain vehicles, four-wheelers, dirt bikes, et cetera, and then sell them at public auction. Well, what was happening is the participants were coming and buying them back at public auction and
right?
using them. So we added a provision in the law, and that's the first section of the bill in 14390, Senate Bill 1284 and Section 14390 of our general statutes, that allows the municipality to sell it at auction or destroy it. Mm. Of course, there's a provision in there for anybody who's a lien holder can notify the municipality that they have a lien on the vehicle and can be turned over to a lien holder. You know, we certainly wanted to hold lien holders harmless with the collateral they have. And then we did a very similar thing now with regular vehicles, passenger cars, trucks, et cetera, where the municipality can create an ordinance then, and there's fees in the thousands of dollars for participation. And participation can include not only driving a vehicle, for example, but observing, participating, gathering with intent to observe, et cetera, of these street takeovers can have fines. And we did a very similar seizure of the vehicle for up to 30 days with or until the fines are paid and or back taxes, et cetera, to make another punitive action for it. And again, we did the same thing with the destruction of the lien holders as well. And then we added a 45-day license suspension on top of that, in addition to the fines, to sort of act as a preventative measure to prevent folks from continuing to do this. You know, Chief Jacobson from New Haven testified in the Public Safety Committee during the session earlier this year that, I mean, he could see up to 40 of these a month, major problems. So hopefully, I think this will pass the House as it came out of the Senate, Paul, and I think, we could have better laws, and then hopefully we can make some moves to get more police officers on the street to address these things as well.
State Rep Greg Howard joining us, 43rd District, working police officer as well. Greg, I know some of the criticism here, although it does sound like it's going to pass your chamber. I guess some of the criticism was, hey, this might be a little too draconian, especially for, you know, maybe young people who don't understand the law, or they could get caught up in this because, okay, they stopped to watch, but they weren't really participating. What's your response to that, to some people, including in the civil rights and in the civil liberties community, that aren't thrilled with this?
Well, I think it's important to remember that outside of certain things like domestic violence laws, for example, police officers in this state have wide discretion. And so they can, you know, choose not to enforce laws. I always use an example when I talk about this. Mm-hmm. If you read the statute in the statute book, if you're going 26 miles an hour and opposed to 25, you're in violation of law. Nobody gets pulled over for that. Police officers don't do that, right?
Yeah.
So they triage when they go to kind of case-by-case basis. They sort of triage when arrest is necessary, when it's appropriate. And so, yeah, certainly if you go to a street takeover, if a police officer goes to a street takeover, if this bill were to pass, is he going to arrest 100 kids that were standing around filming? No. As long as they disperse, I think, you know, that's really what they're trying to get to and get to the meat of the people that were actually creating the problem.
Mm-hmm.
But under current law, if somebody's there at a street takeover and they say, hey, get going, and the person doesn't get going and they continue to maintain that presence there while this is actually happening, there's not a lot of teeth for the law enforcement officer to address it. So what this bill basically does is it says, all right, we're going to give the officers something to rely on so that they can address these issues. Now, certainly we don't expect it. As I said, they're going to load up school buses with hundreds of, you know, 17, 18-year-old kids or 19-year-old, you know, young people at these things, but it sort of addresses it that way. So I sort of put those concerns at ease. You know, this is – we have to have a certain amount of faith, and I certainly have plenty of faith in our law enforcement officers to go out and make the right decisions. So they're not simply grabbing onto somebody because they happen to be walking by, and as human nature would have it, there's a commotion going on. You stop to observe the commotion, and frankly – human nature today seems to be when you see commotion, you stop, observe it, and take out your phone and start filming. That seems to be what people do. So, you know, I don't think I don't have a concern that our law enforcement officers in this state overuse their authority, would there or generally do at any time.
Yeah, Greg, finally, as a police officer, look, you and your fellow officers, you must laugh sometimes. Hey, let's commit crimes and then put video on social media. I mean, some of the stuff I see, it's like, why don't you just arrest yourself too, right? I mean, it makes your job easier, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, we used to joke and say we always catch the dumb ones. But, you know, the truth is, and we do talk about this up in Hartford a lot. You know, a lot of this is done through, like, there's, you know, it's YouTubers and they're influencers, and they go out when they do these things. The Kia Boys is a prime example of what I was talking about. They weren't so much as interested in the vehicle as they were the views and the hits so that they can get, you know, sort of their media from or money from the media that they're creating and the followers that they have in this whole social media aspect of TikTok and Instagram and so on and so forth. So, you know, that I think for some of them, you know, you say, well, that's stupid. Now you're going to get caught. Well, it's sort of getting caught is sort of the cost of doing business, but they actually profited in many cases significantly from it. So, you know, it's like the drug dealers of the 90s. You know, when you did finally get caught, it was sort of, you know, the catch and release thing where, you know, it was the cost of doing business. And then, as you probably recall, back then we really cracked down, you know, the war on drugs and whatnot, which we seem to be coming off of now.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's sort of that issue.
State Rep Greg Howard, 43rd State House District. Greg, as always, thanks. We'll check back with you on this in a bit. Thanks, Greg. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. Have a great afternoon.
All right, there you go. Greg Howard there.